This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إله الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page. إن شاء الله تعالى today we're on page 113 of the Quran, which is the sixth juz, Surah Al-Ma'idah. In the previous episode, we concluded the story of Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel when they were coming towards the promised land. And Allah azza wa jal commanded them to enter that land and to expel the evil people that were there. But the people of Musa alayhi salam refused, instead saying to Musa alayhi salam, "You and your Lord go and fight, we will wait for you here." Meaning that if you go and do the hard work, we'll enter the city once those people have been expelled. But as for us going in and fighting, that's not something which we are prepared to do. And so Musa alayhi salam tells Allah azza wa jal that he has no control over them, doesn't have the ability to force them. And Allah azza wa jal decrees upon them 40 years of wandering upon the earth, in which they will not be able to enter into the holy land. And those 40 years was the punishment that Allah azza wa jal placed upon them. We then also cover the story of the two sons of Adam. The two sons of Adam, from whom Allah azza wa jal accepted from one of them his sacrifice and not from the other. So the one whose sacrifice is not accepted decides to kill his brother for no other reason other than the fact that Allah chose his sacrifice over his own. And so Allah azza wa jal mentions to us that the other brother, the righteous brother, said to his brother that he wouldn't harm him, that he fears Allah, that he has taqwa of Allah azza wa jal, and that if he was to kill him, then he would take on the burden of his sins as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the brother ends up killing his brother. So one of the sons of Adam kills the other son of Adam. And then Allah azza wa jal mentions to us that he is taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how to bury that body by digging it in the ground, by digging the ground and by burying the body within the ground. In today's episode, we continue from verse 32. And that is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws a link between that story of the two sons of Adam and between a commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 32, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا ومن أحياها فكأنما أحيا الناس جميعا ولقد جاءتهم رسلنا بالبينات ثم إن كثيرا منهم بعد ذلك في الأرض لمسرفون. On account of his deed, meaning that son of Adam who committed murder, we decreed to the children of Israel that if anyone kills a person, unless in retribution for murder or spreading corruption in the land, it is as if he has killed all of mankind. While if any saves a life, it is as if he saves the lives of all of mankind. Our messengers came to them with clear signs, but many of them continued to commit excesses in the land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that because and as a result of what took place between the two sons of Adam and that son of Adam that committed murder. And we mentioned the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that no one commits murder except that a portion of that sin will go to that first son of Adam because he was the first one to commit murder. And so therefore Allah azza wa jalla is saying here that because of the heinous nature of that crime, because of the very violent nature of that oppression, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that whoever commits murder, unless it is done for a due right, and a due right means here that it goes to the process of going through the Muslim ruler or the judge that he appoints, and the evidence is established and all of the different protocols are taken, and then that command is given or that ruling or the decree is issued that there is to be an execution in that regard, That is for a right that the Sharia has given. But otherwise, murder is not allowed. And for people to take matters into their own hand, a type of vigilante justice, or for example, in lands in which there is no Muslim rule or law, then you abide by the laws of whatever that country dictates. And so it's not allowed for you to go and simply take those matters into your own hand and say that, no, it's a right, so therefore I will commit murder. Even if murder has been committed against someone that is from your family, it's not permissible for you to go and take those matters into your own hands, because that way lies chaos and confusion. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says here that if it is not for a specific right that the Sharia dictates in the manner in which it dictates, then it is not allowed. And to kill someone, one person, is equal to killing all of mankind. Why? Because this person who kills the other person has no fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, has no concept or mindfulness of the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't have enough iman and taqwa of Allah, fear of Allah in his heart to stop him from committing a major sin, this major crime that he committed. So therefore, if he's willing to kill that one person, why wouldn't he kill a second and a third and a fourth? If his temper got the better of him, his anger overcame him to such an extent that he ends up killing someone, then why wouldn't he kill another person? And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla equates it as if he killed the whole of mankind, which shows to us the gravity of this sin. The gravity of the sin of killing a single person. A single person in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla is as if he killed all of mankind. All of mankind. Because this person has no fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the reverse is also true. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. And whosoever lets one life live or saves a life, then it's as if he has saved all of mankind. And that is because that person who in that situation stops, withholds themselves, restrains themselves, they know themselves, he knows that the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't allow this. He has enough iman and taqwa in his heart to know that this is something which is wrong, that it's a major sin, that by doing so, they will incur the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla unless they make tawbah, so this person stays away. And because of that, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, it's as if they saved all of mankind. Because if this is the way that he behaved with the first one, he will behave like that with the second and the third and the fourth. This is a person who can restrain himself. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says that this is the way that it should be seen. And if this was what we had in our mind, if we ever come upon that situation, may Allah save us from that and keep us safe and our families. But if you're ever in that type of situation, this is what you need to think of. You need to think of the story of the two sons of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, and you need to think of and be mindful of this instruction of Allah Azza wa Jal, that to kill someone shows a lack of fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And you may as well, or it's as if you have killed all of mankind. And to save someone is to save all of mankind. And just as to kill someone in that situation is a major sin, and it is something which incurs a great deal of sin, then likewise to save a life, to forgo, to forgive, to be patient, to be gentle, to be merciful, it is also something which is extremely beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal and something which is greatly rewarded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. And our messengers came to them with the clear signs. ثُمَّ إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ فِي الْأَرْضِ لَمُسْرِفُونَ. But then many of them continued to commit excesses in the land. And that's because, as we know, Bani Israel, they committed murder, not least amongst their own prophets or some of their own prophets and messengers, alayhimu salatu wasalam. In the next verse, verse 133, Allah Azza wa Jal then gives to us another instruction. And he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, إنما جزاء الذين يحاربون الله ورسوله ويسعون في الأرض فسادا أن يقتلوا أو يصلبوا أو تقطع أيديهم وأرجلهم من خلاف أو ينفوا من الأرض ذلك لهم خزي في الدنيا ولهم في الآخرة عذاب عظيم. Those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and strive to spread corruption in the land should be punished by death, crucifixion, the amputation of an alternate hand and foot, or banishment from the land, a disgrace for them in this world, and then a terrible punishment in the hereafter. This verse is known as the verse of Al-Muharaba. And Al-Muharaba are those people who openly go and cause chaos and corruption upon the earth. They're those people who go and fight against their rulers, or here, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, they fight against Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're fighting against the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rulers of the Muslims. and they're stealing people's money. They're openly going and stealing people. And there's a difference between the thief who goes and steals, because the thief is someone who does that quietly, secretively. He doesn't want anyone to know. He hides and he keeps it secretive. And that person has his own rulings and his own punishments. But al-muharaba are those people who openly go and riot, openly go and cause corruption, openly go and they don't care. In broad daylight, they will go and steal. Those people, what they do is called muharaba. Why? Because those people cast fear into the hearts of others. So if you're living in a neighborhood or a community, may Allah Azza wa Jalla keep us all safe, and there are people there who openly go, they don't care, they don't fear anyone, they don't care about authority, they don't care about the police, they don't care. They will come open in broad daylight and they will attack you, or they will take your wealth, or they will harm you. That means that the whole neighborhood lives in fear. There's nothing that they won't fear, as opposed to the thief who doesn't want to be caught, doesn't want to be known, who's going to look for times and places where no one will see him or notice him. That's a different type of person. This person doesn't care, doesn't have any qualms, doesn't have any issue concerning his reputation, doesn't have any fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, let alone of anyone else. Those people are worse, and what they do is worse. And this happened in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when a group of people came and they accepted Islam. And then they found the weather of Medina difficult to bear. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to them, go out to the outskirts of Medina where we keep our animals that we graze for zakah, and go and drink from the urine and from the milk of the camels. So they did that. They went there and they drank, and Allah Azza wa Jal cured them. They then apostated from the religion, killed the shepherd of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and stole the wealth, stole the camels that they had. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent the companions to go and bring those people back. And then he punished them in this way that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions. Why? Because these people have openly rebelled, openly gone and done harm. They're not just stealing or trying to do it quietly. They go and they fight and they kill and they steal openly. And they don't care about anyone that may see them or that may know of them. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, as you can see from this verse, gives to them a great punishment or a grievous punishment. He says that they should be punished by an yuqattalu, by death, or yusallabu, or by crucifixion, or tuqatta'a aydihim marjuluhum min khilaf, or that their hands and or a hand and foot should be amputated, alternate hand and foot, a right hand and left foot, or yunfaw min al-ard, or they should be expelled from the land. And that is the punishment that they have. The scholars of fiqh and tafsir and others differ as to whether this is a choice for the Muslim ruler, meaning that if someone is found guilty of this crime, does the ruler have a choice of choosing between these four punishments that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions here, which is death, crucifixion, amputation of alternate hand and foot, or expulsion from the land. He can choose. Some of the scholars are at that position. It is up to the ruler or the judge. They choose depending upon the gravity of the sin and its nature and so on and so forth, those circumstances. They choose what it is that they do. Others said no. Others said that each one of these punishments is dependent upon the level of the sin that this person committed. So if they committed open murder and open theft, they went and they took the wealth of people and so on, then those people should be killed and crucified because of what they did and because of how heinous the nature of their crime is, and so that it will be a deterrent from others. And if there are people who just killed but they didn't take any money, then they should simply be put to death. And if there are people who stole wealth but they didn't kill, then you take off an alternate hand and foot. And if there are people who just go around scaring people, they haven't killed anyone or taken their wealth, but they cast fear into their hearts, they're intimidating them, they're causing open harm to people like this, then those are the people that should be expelled from the land. And so there is this difference of opinion. But either way, you see the gravity of this particular issue. And that's why those people are from the worst of the criminals, because they do things openly. They intimidate people openly. People live in a constant state of fear. People live in a constant state of fear from them. And most of those people are probably unable then to leave or to move or to find a different place that they can go and reside. They're stuck. And so every day they fear for themselves. They fear for their families and their children. They fear for their wealth. And that is from the greatest crimes that a person can commit towards another person. And that is why the punishment in Islam is something which is grave as well. And all of these punishments in Islam, even though to some people they may seem like they're harsh or they're extreme, as some people call them, but Allah Azza wa Jal has the greatest of wisdom and knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is meant to be a deterrent from this. If someone knew that this is what they would happen to them, they would be killed and crucified. If they were found guilty of this crime, and it was done openly and publicly, as the Sharia says that it should be done, then that is something which the people would be very mindful of. And so the Prophet ﷺ did this in his time to those people, as we said in that narration, that went to the shepherd and killed him, and they stole from the wealth of zakah, and they openly caused rebellion upon or corruption upon the earth. Allah Azza wa Jal says that this is their humiliation upon the earth. ذَٰلِكَ لَهُمْ خِزْيٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا. This is their disgrace in this life. وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. But on يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, in the hereafter, they will have a greater punishment and a more terrible punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 34 gives us the exception of those people from amongst those, them, this group of people, these criminals, who make tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal and return to Him in repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِن قَبْلِ أَن تَقْدِرُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Unless they repent before you overpower them, in that case, bear in mind that Allah Azza wa Jal is oft forgiving, most merciful. And that is the general principle, as we know in our religion, that so long as a person isn't at the point of death, so long as the sun is not about to rise from the west, meaning that Yawmul Qiyamah is going to be established, the door of repentance is always open. And no matter how grave the crime, how evil it may be in its nature, if that person is sincere in their repentance and they turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will forgive them and repent them, as He mentions here in this verse. Even these people who do the greatest of crimes, Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive them. That doesn't mean that they don't right the wrongs that they did, if they harmed people by taking their wealth and so on. No, they're held to account for that because of the harm that they did to those individuals, as we mentioned in the previous episode when we were speaking about the story of the two sons of Adam alayhi salam. The rights of people are still the rights of people. Your tawbah is between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. But from the tawbah also is that you have to right the wrongs that you've done. You apologize, you seek their forgiveness. Or if it's some of the wealth that you took and you can repay it, you repay it. You make amends with them to the best of your ability. But the door of tawbah is always open. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us the story of the man from the children of Israel who killed 99 men in cold blood. Murdered them in cold blood. 99 men. And after killing 99 men, so this is a man who today we would call in our terminology a serial killer. This is a man who killed 99 men from the worst of murderers. He then felt remorse in his heart, wanted to change and amend his ways. So he was told to go to a monk and seek his advice. The monk was a worshipper, but doesn't have much knowledge of the religion, but he's an abid, he's a worshipper. He's asked by this man, he says, I killed 99 men. Is there any hope of repentance for me? The monk says, how can there be repentance for you? You killed 99 men. What kind of repentance are you expecting? So the man thinks, if there's no repentance, I may as well carry on. He kills him as well and makes it 100. Now he's killed 100 men in cold blood, 100 people in cold blood. He's then told, because he still feels that remorse within his heart, he's told by another person, go to a scholar and seek his advice. Don't just go to anybody. Go to someone who knows, who studied Allah's religion, who knows the laws of Allah Azza wa Jal. Go to him and seek advice. And so the man goes to the scholar and he asks him. He says, I've killed 100 men in cold blood. Is there any repentance for me? And the scholar replies, who can come between you and Allah? Who can stop you from repenting to Allah? And who can stop Allah from accepting your repentance? However, he says to him, but this land that you're in, it's not a good influence upon you. If in this land you've killed 100 people, it shows this land's not good for you. So migrate for Allah's sake. Go to another land in which there are people that are good and you can go and reside with them. The man goes and he leaves, makes his firm conviction, made tawbah. I'm not going to leave. And on the way, he dies. Allah Azza wa Jal commands that this man be forgiven for all of his sins. And that is because Allah Azza wa Jal saw the sincerity of his repentance. Saw his firm conviction, because the man is willing to make hijrah and he starts to make the hijrah, but Allah Azza wa Jalla decrees that he dies upon that path. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives everyone. And Allah Azza wa Jalla's repentance is open no matter how grave the sin. This is a man who killed 100 people. I don't think that anyone that's listening to this, inshallah, any of us, have sins that are worse than the sins of this man, who have committed crimes worse than the crimes of this individual who killed 100 men. So if Allah will forgive this man, then why wouldn't He forgive me and you? But all we have to do is take that step of tawbah. Turn to Allah with sincerity, with repentance, with remorse. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His forgiveness and make a serious, determined effort not to return to those sins. Be firm in your resolve to the best of your ability. And Allah knows your weakness and Allah knows the temptations of the dunya. And if then you fall down again, go back to Allah and seek repentance again. So long as you continue to repent, Allah continues to forgive subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says here, unless they repent to you before you overpower them. In that case, bear in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of forgiving, most merciful. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the next verse, verse number 35, he then says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وابتغوا إليه الوسيلة وجاهدوا في سبيله لعلكم تفلحون. O you who believe, be mindful of Allah, have Allah's fear, seek ways to come closer to Him and strive for His cause so that you may prosper. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives this command to the believers. We've just spoken about people who commit major sins, murder, causing harm, openly stealing, causing terror in the hearts of people, casting terror into the hearts of people. These are major sins that a person commits. These are things that you should stay away from. They are major sins that will incur Allah Azza wa Jalla's punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 35 now commands the believers and He says, what should you do instead? Number one, be people of Allah's taqwa. Be mindful and conscious of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because a person who's mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is constantly aware of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and also knows that Allah Azza wa Jalla will hold him to account, he's going to be very careful about what he says and what he does and the harm that he does. And even if some harm does come from him or her, they will do their best to make amends and turn back to Allah Azza wa Jalla in repentance. So that's the first thing that you should do. وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and seek ways and means to come closer to Him, meaning use good deeds to come closer to Him. Fulfill your obligations, stay away from the haram, do everything that you can do in order to come closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla of all of the good deeds. Because your good deeds are a means of number one, bringing you closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and number two, fortifying your iman. And number three, keeping you away from sin. Someone who is busying themselves in ibadah doesn't have time to busy themselves in sin and in haram. If you're busying yourself in Allah's worship, you're someone who's praying, you're someone who's giving charity, you're someone who's reading Quran, who's studying Islamic knowledge, who's making dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, who's helping people in the community, you don't have time for anything else. You don't have time alongside your duties and responsibilities as a parent or a child or whatever you are in your family setup. You don't have time alongside your job and your career and whatever else you may have, your studies. You don't have time for anything else. You don't have time for the haram because you're busying yourself. But also Allah Azza wa Jalla allows us to use those means of, or to use the good deeds that we do as a means of drawing closer to Him. As we've seen, for example, in a number of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where some of those people would use their good deeds and ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for something in return. Like the story of the three men who were stuck in the cave. Each one of them asks Allah through a good deed that they did sincerely for His sake. And Allah Azza wa Jalla made their affair easy for them and He allowed them to escape from that cave. And so here, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, seek that nearness to Him. Seek nearness to Him. Because the closer you come to Allah Azza wa Jalla, the further you are away from shaitan. And the further you are away from Allah Azza wa Jalla, the closer you are to shaitan. And that is how it is. There is no middle path. Either you are coming closer to Allah, or you are going closer to shaitan. There is no neutral. There is no middle ground where you can just say, I won't do anything. Because that is not the nature of humans. You are either doing things that are good, or you're going to be doing things that are not good. And very little in between is there. Because there, that middle ground is very small, and shaitan will manipulate it and change it so that you will be wasting your time and eventually you will fall into one form of haram or another. So use your time to do that which Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with. And Allah Azza wa Jal then says, and the third thing, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, and strive for His cause so that you may be from amongst the people who prosper. Which shows that this fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, mindfulness of Him, doing good deeds, doing good ibadah, requires jihad, requires a great deal of striving and effort. And the hardest type of striving and effort and jihad is the one against your own soul and the whisperings of shaitan. That is the hardest type of jihad, as mentioned by the scholars such as Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, that to strive against your temptations, your desire, your own soul, the whisperings that you have, that is the hardest form of jihad. So Allah Azza wa Jalla acknowledges this. But if you can do this, you're mindful of Allah, you're doing your ibadah, your good deeds, and you're patient and striving in that regard, then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, you will be from the prosperous. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. You will be from those who are successful. In verse 36, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ أَنَّ لَهُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ لِيَفْتَدُوا بِهِ ليفتدوا به من عذاب يوم القيامة ما تقبل منهم ولهم عذاب أليم. If the disbelievers possessed all that is in the earth and twice as much again, and offered it to ransom themselves from the torment of the day of resurrection, it would not be accepted from them. They will have a painful torment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at this verse that shows to you the terror of Yawm al-Qiyamah and how Allah Azza wa Jal on that day will not accept anything except Iman and good deeds. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that those who disbelieve, if they owned everything upon the earth, and no one owns everything upon the earth, not even the richest, most successful person that ever lived in the history of the world or the most powerful individual ever owned all of the earth. But Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that if one disbeliever, one of these disbelievers owned everything upon the earth and double its amount, وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَ and it's like again, with all of its treasures and all of its wealth and all of its palaces and everything that is worthy of something and valuable, they had double its amount. لِيَفْتَدُوا بِهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ and they could ransom themselves using all of that money so that Allah would save them from the punishment of يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَا تُقُبِّلَ مِنْهُمْ Allah says it would never be accepted from them. Why? Because that currency is worthless in the sight of Allah. The currency of money, of gold, silver, cash, whatever it may be, worthless in the sight of Allah. There is only one currency that has any value in Allah's sight, and that is Iman and righteous deeds. So anyone that comes with anything else, it's like you going to a place and saying, look, I have some rocks, I have some dust, I have some soil, I have some mud, and I want to buy things from your shop. People will say, that's not the currency we're accepting. We don't live on that. That's not the way we do our business. Allah Azza wa Jal has the best of examples. Allah dictates and decides the currency that he will accept. So on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the only thing that will save a person from Allah's punishment that they can use to ransom themselves from Allah's punishment is Iman and righteous deeds. Everything else will not be accepted. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ They will have the worst of punishment. In verse 37, which is the final verse that we will take, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنَ النَّارِ وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنْهَا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ They will wish to come out of the fire, but they will be unable to do so. So theirs will be a lasting torment. Meaning once these disbelievers enter the fire, they will have no escape. There is no exit plan, there is no exit strategy, there is no time that they will ever be able to leave, even for a moment. But they will remain therein forever. May Allah Azza wa Jal save us and our families from that torment. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the ability to seek nearness to Him through Iman and righteous deeds and ibadah. And with that we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم